Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, May the 7th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Hopefully, Peter will get back with us. He's not on yet, but he came in the last part of yesterday, so hopefully we'll get to finish that conversation with him. In the meantime, let's welcome Michael.
Absolutely. Thank you, dear heart, and it's an awesome blessing for me and for us to have each of you that chooses to tap into this show, whether you're doing it through the archives or you're doing it live with us. We're just delighted and honored that you choose to take your valuable time and spend it with us. And we hope that what we're bringing forward and what we're talking about serves each and every one of you. And I've been getting a lot of comments from people, a lot of conversation around the show on Monday where Suzanne Tucker shared with us and Julie and Dr. Tim. But in particular, the story that Suzanne told, if you weren't on the show on Monday, you might want to go back and give it a listen. But Suzanne Tucker has a website called mymommymanual.com, and we've initiated out of the show on Monday a new theme. As everybody knows, we've got a theme show on Friday, and that's Aramaic Fridays with Dale Allen Hoffman. So we've got a new theme that we're calling Parent Teacher Talk on Mondays. So Monday would be parent-teacher talk, and we'd be focused on issues of parenting. Of course, every one of us has been parented, so we've got issues around having been parented. So it's you don't have to be a parent to be part of it because you were parented, and I probably can guess that you have issues from having been parented. In fact, I've shared the story that Suzanne shared with us on the show Monday, and have had several people just, the stories that I'm hearing from people, just unbelievable. The story that I'm referring to that Suzanne shared with us is in one of her parenting classes. Of course, discipline becomes a big topic, and our understanding in this culture, you know, I always go back to Vladimir Lenin's writing where he tells the world, here's how you destroy a culture, you change the meaning of its words. And so the word discipline has become in this culture to a great degree, especially in many church circles, it means properly beat up. I remember sitting in a church service with a gentleman who informed his congregation that he never beat his children, and I've never heard of this before, but I guess it's kind of a family tradition that when one of his children misbehaved, they had to go out and cut a switch off the tree to bring it in order to be beaten with it. Of course, he called it discipline. The word discipline comes from the word disciple. It means properly taught. It does not mean properly beat up. And on Monday's show, Suzanne shared with us that one of the parents in her parenting class had chosen to stop beating her kids after, and she had a similar. I'd never heard of this before, but you got to go out and cut your own switch. And she sent her son out to cut a switch for his punishment, and couldn't reach a switch that he could cut off the tree, so brought rocks back in and said, "Here, Mom, I couldn't get a switch, but I brought some rocks for you to throw at me." How bizarre does it get? You know, parents think they're delivering a message. Oh, this will teach them. Well, I think it's pretty straightforward when you look at that particular case. This child's learning from being hit by his parent was, my mother wants to hurt me, and I can't get a switch, so I'll bring rocks. I mean, how bizarre does it get? One gentleman that I shared that with since the show on Monday shared with me how he and his brother, there was a switch that hung in the barn that was used on a regular basis on them, and they thought they were being really, these were his words, we were being really smart when we burned the switch. They thought that would be the end of the beatings. And then he shared with me that thought of the fact that right next to the switch in the barn was the horse whip. And when the switch disappeared, and he didn't show them to me, but he shared that he still has the scars on his buttocks, his low back, from being beat with a horse whip because they burned the switch that Dad used to beat them. It's like, you know, whatever happened to human life? You know, the question we ask so often is, have you ever held a newborn child and hold that newborn? And our birthright is that awesome presence of love that we experience ourselves, our parents, the people around us, and that. And how have we come so far away? I posted to our Facebook page today a quote from Aristotle where he says, and this is an exact quote, but the idea that when we go off course by a minor amount over time, it becomes so major. And you know, it's kind of like on the space shuttle. We've heard that, yeah, if they were off just a fraction of a degree, space shuttle got to the moon, it would be thousands of miles away or whatever. And how far off course have we become as human beings? That each of us started out as this awesome, active presence of love. And how do we get so far away that we take this creature that comes into our lives that is so awesome and can purposely or unconsciously teach lessons such as the ones that these children have learned? And so it's an issue we're going to be addressing on an ongoing basis on Mondays, so we certainly invite you to participate with us on the show on Monday. If you didn't listen to this past Monday show, you can go to www.whyagain.org, and right up at the top of the page, you'll see a link to the radio show. If you click there, you can go to the archives, download that show. Actually, we've got, I don't even know how many shows now, 4 years of them, so you know, several hundred shows that you can listen to, and we certainly appreciate Manda and her putting the descriptors into the shows and getting them posted both on the website and on Facebook. It's awesome that people can go back and find the content of the show and be able to target the topics that they want to listen to. So you're certainly invited. The MP3s are free on our website. You're welcome to go there and download them free and give them a listen. In the meantime, we certainly, again, appreciate everybody being here. And Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Having a delightful day here in Illinois. Working with
well,
people
we're
on...
Forward.
Go ahead, you're looking forward to...
Being up there in October, getting to play with you guys.
Yeah, I think it might be the end of September, but we're looking forward to it, too.
For sure. Yeah, we're going to be, I guess it's what I believe is maybe, the, I don't have a calendar in front of me, maybe the last week in September, and then we're going to be down in, we're working on something on the south side of Chicago to do something in Naperville. maybe that's not quite the south side, but Naperville, and then we're going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, and then we've got the first week in November, we've got a 9-day intensive scheduled in Pickney, Michigan, which is about an hour or so north. We've got this awesome facility on a lake, this absolutely beautiful old mansion that we'll be using for an intensive in November. And we actually have not yet determined the intensive that we're going to do. We're going to leave it to discussion of people who are interested in participating in that intensive. So out of all of the different workshops that we do, if you're thinking about participating in the November intensive, we'd appreciate your input on, would you like to see codependence? Would you like to see intuitive development? Would you like to see Course in Miracles? Would you like to see why is this happening to me again? Which intensive would you like to see us doing if you're going to be participating? So there's lots of exciting things happening in that direction, of course, in all over the globe. So what's exciting in your world?
Well, more of the same. I was working with somebody this morning who was at least my age and stuck on a pattern in relationships that's related to family dynamics from 7 years old and a father who was so conflicted and so unable to manage his own emotions that most of what his children saw was anger and an occasional breakdown in tears. And so it's just a wonderful example of how what you were just talking about, if you just start a little bit off course, by the time you travel several miles, you're a little bit more off course. And by the time you travel 1,000 miles, you're way off course. And when we're in a family and we're not operating from that awareness of our true nature as the energy of love, we're off course. And it's wonderful to have the tools to help people who are 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years old make course corrections. And it's even more delightful to help people who are brand new parents and young children learn to recourse correct themselves. And so yesterday I was working with another family that has a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and they're learning breathing and tapping and the work it out worksheet, and they're learning to take responsibility for their own emotional state and how they're producing it. And it's just delightful to see that this can and does work even at that level. And I shared a story yesterday. I had a gentleman come in to see me, and I had taught the children I had taught the parents the EFT tapping and breath work. And they had taught their children that were 3 and 6. And the father came in and was laughing as he walked in the door. I said, "What's so funny?" He said, "Well, I just left the house. We were having dinner. And my 6-year-old was having a meltdown because he didn't want to eat his vegetables, and he wanted his dessert without having to eat his vegetables." And we just, firmly said, no, we have to either eat your vegetables or go without your dessert. And the 6-year-old started to get angry, and the 3-year-old said, "You better start tapping."
How cool was that?
Well, it's just one of many examples of how they coach themselves once they're given the tools. And I have several families that we worked with that they taught their children Reiki and EFT tapping and the Work It Out worksheet and Mind Shifters at a young age, and now they're on into high school and college, and they'll occasionally call me and say, "Well, can I come in for a tune-up, or can I come in and get some help on this? I'm stuck on this in my worksheet," and it's just fabulous.
Well, I actually had a similar experience when Suzanne came on the show on Monday, because I didn't realize how deeply Suzanne and Sean had integrated the tools into the work they were doing. They're both physical therapists, and Suzanne is doing his parenting work. And, you know, as she shared during the workshop or during the show on Monday, you know, she's doing the three early memories. She's just taking the worksheet, each of the tools, into her parenting class. And, you know, their visit to Heartland was, it was when they were courting, I'm not even sure, 15 years ago. And so to hear how they had taken the tools before they even got married and were using them, consciously moving into creating a relationship and using it within the family system and now using it within their practice and their work, it's just like, how cool is that? You know, it's like, I don't know. It's awesome. It's just so awesome to watch in how many directions it goes and how when we choose to drop that pebble in the pond, the ripples are so far-reaching. And so thank you to everyone who chooses to throw a pool in the pond and share the tools with someone else, because it's what's going to shift us to that critical mass that will make the difference. Now, did you have a support group last night, Tim?
Yes, we did. It was smaller than usual, so we only had about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there were 9 people plus me. And they voted to listen to a follow-up of the Guy Finley lecture from several weeks ago. And I had shared with some of them the idea that came from one of those lectures recently, and it really struck me. I was having a conversation with somebody before the meeting. I think I read this yesterday or the day before. The idea that God has given you a teacher, but hasn't just given you a teacher. She has put you in a universe where your relationship with the living teaching is never absent from you if you will just be present to it. So we were talking about that, and the lecture last night, the whole theme of it was watchfulness rather than willfulness. To be able to train ourselves to step back and watch the mind in action, to catch the early warning signs of anger, fear, sadness, frustration, and then refuse to do what we cannot do and choose to do only what we can. And that is, we can't solve it all by ourselves. We can't think our way through the problem. But we can choose to step back and surrender to that higher wisdom that was implanted in us by the Creator and just stand back and watch what's going on, and breathe, and be present in the moment. And it came to me that this life that we're in, this universe we're living in, has limitless gifts and prizes for us to win. But it's like a lot of those raffles when you buy a ticket, at the bottom of it, it says, you must be present to win.
Right.
In this life, you have to be a wide awake and aware and present in the moment to get the gift that each moment brings. So we had that lecture. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of these days we're going to have to get Guy on the show and have a conversation with him. Maybe you can make that contact at some point to face the contract. He's just such an awesome storyteller. I've integrated his story about
the woodworker.
The woodworker, yeah. I've integrated that into my Healing Through Relationships workshop now. It's such a great story. So maybe we can get him on the show one of these days.
And then we had a little discussion, and then we had somebody who was very anxious to do a worksheet. And they're relatively new to the group, and they've never done a worksheet before. So we had some very powerful emotions and some pretty deep insights and some good laughs through that worksheet process. It's always good to be able to take the step back and see the humor in something. And again, I just have to say that that group of people is an extraordinarily loving, intelligent, committed group of people, and it's an honor to be there every Tuesday to help support their process.
And we encourage everybody to start a support group. If you don't have one where you are, you and one person is a support group, and watch the miracles grow. It's pretty amazing. Well, Dr. Tim, we've got Peter back with us from Sweden, and so we'd like to break away and have a conversation with him. And also, Rex is on the show, and he's got some really interesting information to share with us from the prison yesterday. So let's say hello to Peter and see how the young man is. Are you there, Peter?
I'm here.
Awesome. How do you be, sir?
Great.
Cool. What's exciting in your world? How can we support you? What do you have to share with us?
I was thinking about what we talked about now, divorce, getting off court and far away you can get. So that means we have to go all the way back to the point where we actually started off course, traced all the way back.
It does require taking a look there for sure. I actually looked up the quote on our Facebook page, and it's Aristotle, and here's what he says: the least initial deviation from the truth is multiplied later a thousandfold. So, yes, that willingness to go back to truth is definitely a big key in the process.
The 70 times the 7, it sounds like.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
the exciting part here is five sheets a day keeps the doctor away.
Aha.
So we learned.
So you've been doing it 5 a day?
Starting morning with it. And it's interesting to hear when you ask Dr. Tim the theme for the day and just open up a new page, a new sheet, say, okay, let's see what the theme is for the day. And it works. Great. Beautiful.
Yeah, you're breaking up, Peter. Is there a different way you can speak? Your voice is breaking up. We can hardly understand you.
Is my accent me?
No, your accent is perfect.
Okay, I tried to get closer to the computer. Is that working better?
Better. That's better.
Okay. Well, I was basically saying 5 sheets a day keeps the doctor away, and having that, actually the procedure now, or the habit of doing it in the morning, first thing in the morning, and... just like you asked Dr. Tim, the theme of the day, it's just interesting to see how seemingly there's just a coming together for those 5 different sheets. And question-wise, I heard you talk about 2 weeks ago or so with Dale, mentioned the experience I had at Heartland with the long experience. And it was really interesting to listen to you talking about this, the third person, Peter. And I could really it actually helped, it brought up the energy in me. I could really, not the way it was then, but it was definitely, just like you say, holding the space. It was really interesting and nice just to hear it and to be with that, to sit with that for a while. And then question-wise, you said a few things you recognize. You said this very, very intellectual person, but then you didn't say why, so maybe that was different. I keep asking the question. I think I asked you 3 times about
you're really breaking up a lot. I can hardly understand your words, Peter.
Well, let's listen to Rex instead.
Do you have a headset, maybe, Peter?
I'll try.
It sounds like there's a loose connection and it's cutting in and out.
Except now, is it better?
Oh, much better.
Very much.
So, start way back from the beginning?
Or? There's still like a there's a loose wire or something, like there's something wiggling back and forth, so your voice is still, you're louder and clearer, but your voice is still cutting in and out.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say it's a blessing to be part of this, and let's listen to Rex and stand up.
Okay, sir, well, let's see if we can get that clarified so that we can hear your questions and thank you. We appreciate you being in our world immensely. I would love to hear about how the group is going that we worked with when we were over there a few months ago, and what kind of results are showing up from that. But we'd love to see if we can get something done with the headset or what have you. So, all right. Well, we appreciate you. And Jeannie, let's shift over to Rex and say hello. And I got to talk to Rex for a few minutes before the show, and there's some pretty cool stuff happening in the prison there. Hey, Rex.
Good afternoon, everyone.
What's exciting, sir?
Okay? Well, there's a lot happening. Awesome. It was a very interesting day yesterday in the prison. Our work that we're doing, for those who are new to the program, we're working in the prison every Tuesdays, offering, we being Michelle Pache and myself, offering the Laws of Living course that was designed and originated by Dan McDougall and Dr. Michael Rice. And so we're teaching that to two sections, two different levels to the prison. And so in the Laws of Living, a big part of the Laws of Living course is to learn to maintain, and this is in all of our work, it's all the above, as Michael says so often, to maintain the integrity of conscious active love in our minds and in our bodies fully present. And that's what I'm realizing for me personally, and I think potentially for all of us, that is the most important piece, and everything else evolves around that, because if I have Rachma love, conscious in my frontal lobes, and in Kuba love in my rear lobes, then I am fully present. Otherwise, they're not. You know, and so it's just becoming so crystal clear to me. And in the Laws of Living, it really brings that to a point. And within that is this communication that we have, that I have with Ruka Dakucha, that is the Holy Breath, and also called the Holy Spirit. What I am doing more all the time is I'm realizing that in order for me to be present when I'm upset or have upset surfacing in me, then it's essential that I have practiced, repeated over and over and over again in my conscious awareness, engaging Rachma and Kuba and maintaining integrity of love in my mind when I'm calm and happy or joyous, and times where I didn't necessarily think I, quote, needed to engage Rachma and Kuba. And what's happened as a result is it's now becoming more and more natural. And I think it is designed to be natural. I'm getting more and more of my unnaturalness or my beliefs and concepts out of the way so I can. So I've been exercising that quite regularly. And part of that is when something happens and I don't like it, if it's different than the way I want it and the way I see it, I take a breath and just remember to engage Rachma and Kuba love, and I just relax and I say, okay, if there literally is nothing I can do to change it, and it's something that just is happening and it's the way it is, then I just go, okay, and I just surrender to the moment and allow it to happen. And I know a lot of us are doing that. It's a wonderful practice of just being present and being with what is, but I've been consciously doing that. And yesterday, we approaching the city, the electricity was out, so we didn't know if the prison would have electricity, but we knew they had a backup generator, and they didn't call us, so we figured we were all right. But we got delayed, and then that was a moment where both Michelle and I had the opportunity to take a breath and go, oh, well, here we are sitting in traffic and can't get to the prison on time. Okay, so we're late. And then one thing led to another, a different prison guard at the beginning, and they were slower. And you know, just maybe 5 to 8 different isolated events that there would have been a time in my life where I would have gotten upset. I would have triggered upset in me. But at the time, it was kind of like, I've learned, just let it happen. I'm not in control here. And I just keep turning it over to Ruka and say, Ruka, you got this. I'm just here as an expression of love. Just guide me and guide my words. And as I was doing that, I'm watching, and I just watch, and I'm smiling, which is really nice, actually. I'm smiling when all these different things would show up, which seems to be obstacles or blocks to what it is that I know I'm here to do, supposedly, right? Or the design of how I think it should unfold, you know. And just, I won't go through all of them, but there were about 6 or 7 different occasions. And then we got in the meeting, and then the meeting was going quite well, the first session, and we're in session 6, I think, in the series of 8. And it's dealing with punishment, and it, without saying it outwardly, it's dealing with punishment. If you're going to deal with the punishment idea, you're also going to be dealing with the reward idea. So it's interspersed, although it's not in a lot of the languaging. It's more just the idea of punishment. And so we're working with that in the first session, and then we get interrupted again by the guard that says, we have a problem or something's come up. Could I speak to one of you? So Michelle went out and talked with the guard and came back and said, oh, we're ending the class in 20 minutes, and that's it. And it was 20 minutes earlier than we were normally going to end. And as a teacher, we were getting in the flow and doing it. I was and Michelle was, and we get interrupted. And then it was another one of those occasions. I just took a deep breath, and initially I wanted to try to manipulate it, to change it. And it was like my guidance inside was, just breathe and relax. It's okay. And so I just went, it's okay. And then we just moved on. And it was so smooth without really a big ripple. And then we left. And then as we're leaving, he said, now you might want to take your stuff rather than leaving here, because you may not be able to come back in because there's no guard to take care of the next session. And again, another potential obstacle. And I just took a breath and I looked at her and I smiled and I started to ask why and what. And then I just went, okay. And Michelle was and I were both doing it. And We just grabbed our materials and we're walking out and we're chit-chatting and going, and then she was explaining to me what happened and why there was a challenge with the time and had to leave. There was an accident that took place and somebody had to go to the hospital, and the guard that had to go was Hansen. He was going to take them, and he's the one who takes care of us at the chapel as the guard. There's one guard assigned to our class. And they didn't have anybody else to cover us in the afternoon, so he figured he didn't know what they were going to do. So we ended up coming back early, and a series of events took place that were, again, similar. Oh, I forgot one real important piece. At lunch, I had the thought, and the thought was something like this. Hey, Ruka, would you, and my thought was going to be, would you take care of making sure we get into the prison again? And the response was so clear to me, and it was in my own experience, loving but firm. And when I didn't even get the whole thought in my mind, and I started to say the words to Michelle, and it was out loud. She was sitting with me at the table, and I said, Ruka, would, and I never even got past would. And it was, I got it handled. Just like that. It was it's handled. And it was really clear and it was firm, and there was no room for me to go anything other than, oh, cool, good. Well, then there's something really cool happening, you know, and that was my own take on it. And then I shared that with Michelle, and we laughed, and then we finished our dinner and went back and got into prison, and it was a little choppy again. Couldn't get in right away, and there was this happening and that happening, and they didn't have a guard for the chapel, and we're looking at getting a dog, and they're doing a dog program, which I won't distract right now from that, but that's a cool thing they're doing now, too, for rehabilitation. Well, actually, it's a part of the story. I apologize. I went back to look at a dog because Mitzi wants a dog, and so we decided to get a poodle. And they have poodles that they're they've rescued from dog kennels that are called puppy mills. And they, when the puppies get to a certain age and they haven't gotten rid of the dogs, they just let their hair grow and they're neglected and they're just really abused through neglect. And so these are dogs that are afraid of people and all sorts of things. So they're rebuilding their trust and training them with the inmates. Well, the dogs are staying in the cells with the inmates, and Michelle and I had never been allowed to go into the cell blocks because they, quote, it's too dangerous, is what they've said. Well, because we're going to go look at the dogs, then we're going right through the cell blocks, which was really, really challenging. But because of in the moment I was in that space of just okay, I looked at the cells, took the information in, and it didn't have as big of an impact on me as it did this morning when I was recounting it with a friend. But it was the cell, to give you an idea of these cells, these were built in the 1800s. The cell door is small, so you have to bend in, you have to lean over a little bit to get in the cell door, if I remember correctly. I'm 5'8", I'm not that tall. So I bend over a little bit, get into the cell, and if you reach your hands out from your sides, you will touch both walls of the cell. That's the width. And then if you have a cot, which is about 2.5 feet, then there's approximately 2.5 or 3 feet max left of floor space. Well, on that is a dog's pillow, the dog where he's living. And it's all cement, cement walls, cement floors, everything. And you can reach the ceiling as well. So it gives you an idea how small these cells are. And it just really was impactful. We have 2 students in the second class that have been in this prison system in the Ionia for 40 years. And it had such a huge impact on us. And Michelle may share a little bit more about what happened to her at support group, you know, that really opened up. So then we're going through the dogs. We're going to see the cell. You see the cells, and we see the inmates in there, and some of them are open and letting the dogs out and so on and so forth. And we were looking at the dogs and blah, blah, blah. So then we finish that. We come back to the guard shack getting ready to get sent out to the chapel. Well, the guard says there's no guard there. And we say, well, okay. And he's, let me call up front. He called up front, talked to the captain. The captain had been informed that there was no guard. They had no guard to do our program. And the captain asked the warden if they would consider doing the guard position and be in the class the whole time. To give you an idea, it's a very busy man. He's the third, he's number two man in the whole system. There's the female warden, and then there's 2 male assistants that are called deputy wardens. Well, he's a deputy warden. And to get him to sit in a 2-hour class, Michael, you remember when he was there, he wouldn't even come in and sit in our classes when you were teaching, let alone sit in a class with all the inmates there and everything. He just never done it. Well, that's what happened.
I was impressed when we were there the first time that the whole class, he stood out in the hallway and listened. I've never had that happen in any jail or any prison. I've never had a warden that's taken an interest like he's taken. And to me, what you're about to share is just so exciting to watch and hear. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. And the thing that I'll interject as well, that Michael knows, we know this, many of us, Tim, you know this, Michelle knows this, a lot of you on the program know it, but it's awesome to be reminded of it, is the infinite orchestration, the amazing infinite orchestration that's taking place every minute of the day, if we just allow it to happen, is just amazing. And it's, in my language, it would be Ruka is the orchestrator. And I'm the action of that orchestration when I'm moving through space and time expressing love consciously. And it's just such a beautiful thing to participate aware in an awareness in. What's that? Oh, Michael's talking in another conversation.
Michael, you're hard to hear.
He doesn't know he's not muted.
No, that's not me.
I don't know where that's coming from. We need to meet somebody else, Jeannie. No, there's nothing happening here.
Oh, that's someone else that's not muted then. Maybe Michelle.
You had a phone line. You might want to close, Jeannie.
I thought that was you, Michael. It sounded a little bit like your voice. So that's good for clarification.
Yes.
So we're doing the class, and here the skipper shows up, which is cool. And he's there, and he makes the call out, and they get the, you know, we get the inmates in there, and we start a little late again because of the delays. And throughout the whole class.
The skipper is the warden.
Yes,
the skipper is the warden.
Yes, he's called Skipper. It's called Skipper Warden. He's asked me to call him Skipper, so that's why I call him Skipper. I don't call him Warden. But, yes, it's Warden Skipper, and they call him Skipper. It's his last name. And he basically – so the warden is sitting in the class, and it's the first time since we've been teaching back in May – that we've had anyone. The chaplain sat into one of Michael's classes, maybe two, the whole class. But other than that, we've never had any guard or warden or anyone literally sit the whole time in the class with us. And he sat the whole time in the class. And there was just, I was so inspired by love that Luca shared, I thought, some of the best teaching that I've been able to participate in through me. And I was there fully aware as best I could, and just, it's one of those I would have loved to have had the talk recorded so I could hear all the things in the interaction that was said. It's just sometimes that just happens, and I accept it happening more and more all the time for me and myself as a teacher and as a person in my life. And I think what my experience is that when I'm aligned with love, that's the natural expression. It might be an echo that's happening in the line there.
There is an echo.
Okay.
There is an echo.
Yeah, I hear it. Because I was just kind of. I did say that I'd like to hear what I'm saying, didn't I? Oh, that's funny.
Go.
Yeah, watch your chat.
What you might want to do, Rex, what you might want to do is hang up and call back in and see if that disappears the echo.
I'll do that real quick.
Okay. And so while Rex is doing that. Yeah. And my phone's doing the same thing, so I'll stop talking too, and we'll just go back in. There's technology, what can I say?
Hello, I'm back. See, it's still doing it. But okay. So this transpired, and Skipper sat in. We had a profound session. There was a lot of interaction with the inmates. They were extremely excited about Skipper being there. I had shared with them anytime they get the opportunity to share what the work is doing for them in the midst of the Skipper or the warden or any of the guards or anyone, make sure they do that. So they really took the initiative for him being there in a captive audience, and they were interactive, talking about their personal experiences, sharing. It was just a really powerful session. And what came out of it, one thing, and Michael, I haven't shared this with you yet, the two that are the vice president and the president of the Lifers Association, what's the full name of it? It's escaping me right now. But they had shared that they were talking to Skipper, and they went over and talked with him for 10 minutes before we started. And it had a pretty big effect on the Skipper, and I know what they were talking about. They were talking about how to get this class introduced into the system through the inmates, and then we would be sponsoring them. And I've mentioned that in the program in the past. Boy, it'd be nice if we could help with this technology a bit right now and eliminate this extra voice here. And as I we finished the session, it went really well. There was a lot of excitement and a lot of wonderful healing taking place. We were talking about punishment, which was really important. And we were able to get to a place toward the end of the session that I was able to share your experience, speaking to the inmates, Why don't I try to call back again, and I'll pause a little bit longer because it's getting louder. I'll try it one more time. I'll call back.
Okay, go ahead. And it looks like it's something in probably in Blog Talk system. Is my phone's doing the same? Anyway, while we're waiting for Rex to call back in, the space I'd invite everybody to join in holding. You know, this is the first time that the warden has sat in, and this is like a major. This is the disciplinary prison in Michigan where they bring all of the inmates from all over the state that are problem inmates. And they're seeing such changes from the laws of living and from the forgiveness work that they pretty much opened the door to carte blanche. And so I just invite everybody, if you would, to hold the space that having sat in on this session, that the laws of living starts again at completion with a new group and those who want to train to teach it, and that the warden partakes and sits in the class every week and sees it. And we see this going not only to the inmates, but to the guards, and shifting this whole game of punishment. You know, it's interesting how this conversation's coming up after Monday's show. There's no coincidence there. So are you back with us, Rex?
I am back.
Oh, cool. Sound better.
And there's no echo. Thank you, Ruka. Thank you. Yes, and I was listening to what you're sharing, Michael. Definitely a wonderful experience. There were so many different dynamics that took place. Another one that was really helpful is that a part of the what we're moving into in the course is addressing the issue that we as individuals have with authority that we learned from a very young age. Because we were small and they were the authority. That was the way it was laid out. We were in a little body and we couldn't get them to do what we wanted them to do or so on and so forth. So we developed the power person dynamic and there was an authority issue. So in the moment we were addressing the lesson and it came out about guilt and shame and punishment and how they will only teach more of the same thing. You cannot teach, use punishment and expect to teach love. You can't. It's impossible. It's like trying to teach love with your fear or hostility engaged. It cannot happen. You can only teach, you know, what is resonating in your content based on the filters engaged. And what we were talking about that and sharing it, and the piece on punishment, one of the prisoners had a disagreement. It was one of the questions, and I won't quote the question exactly because I'd have to look into the book and it takes some time, but it was a question about punishment and whether it was something that we could and the answer was false, and then he said true, and so we processed about it. I sat down in front of him on the platform. I sat down, was equal to him, and we started processing it, and he got to the place where he came up with the answer. He got clear in the answer, and he goes, oh, I get it. So it doesn't cause. Okay, I got it. It's not a cause. Okay, it's not causative. All right. And he said, I can see where it's false. And then I said, what you're dealing with here is an issue with authority, but you think the authority is the warden or the guards in their situation. That's not the problem. The problem is you have an issue inside you with authority. That's the problem. And when you no longer have that issue, when you resolve the conflict you have with your own authority issues inside you, you will no longer look upon the authorities in your life the same way. They will change. And I was pointing to the warden at that moment, and he said, and then I paused, and when I paused, he stood right up. And he says, I'm so glad you directed that over here because I've been wanting to say something. And then he launched into his story about how he has gone, his own life story, about how he has gone through these levels of authority. When he started in the prison system as a young man, he started as a guard, and he was introduced to the guard, and he was there for 2 weeks and realized, I got a sergeant that's telling me what to do. I don't want to do this. And then he went from that, and once he got to the next level, he said then he found that he had a another supervisor above him, and he didn't want to stay there, so he didn't, and he moved up to the supervisor position. Then when he moved down to the supervisor, there were six levels that he went through, and the conversation took about 10 minutes. And we just sat down and listened to him talk, and he was teaching. And what he was teaching was about this process of authority. And he made it to the assistant deputy. And when he got to the assistant deputy, he figured he would be his own authority. And he realized once he got there that the warden was the boss. And he still was being told what to do. And then he just sat down and he said, and that's where it's at now. And then we had the opportunity to reinforce the authority, the true authority that we have. And that being... And in the moment, because I knew that if I used it in the way that I normally would describe to the inmate, that it might be a bit of a trigger, and it was going so smoothly, I was guided to just be real gentle with it. And I gave everybody the option. I says, I've just made God my true authority inside me. And I didn't go into pursuing that further. I just stated it, and then it was real quiet again, and then we went on with the material. But it was just a wonderful opportunity, and I really think that there was, I know that there was really great movement, and it was affirmed when we left. Michelle and I were walking to the parking lot, and about, 50 yards away, unbeknownst to us, Warden Skipper was getting in his car leaving for the day, and he got out of his car. He was already in the car, and he got out of his car, stood up above the window because there were other cars around him. We couldn't see him. And he stood up and he yelled at us. He said, great class today. That was awesome. Great class. And Michelle and I both said, thanks. And it was. So it was pretty cool to watch all that happen. And there's just, I've been told from the very first day we were in there, this is another important piece that I left out that's really important. I said to the inmates when the skipper was sitting right there, I said, and he was complaining about it being, him being penalized. He doesn't need to be penalized for putting his shoes in a certain place in his cell. And they would write a ticket, and he was a little resistant to that, so he processed through it, and he got through it. And then I said, but what is the institution you're at? And he says, it's a Michigan reformatory. I says, no, but what type of institution? He goes, it's a penal institution. I said, exactly. And there was just a pause. It was real quiet. And I says, and so they use punishment to try to teach you, and you're saying that doesn't work. He says, I know it doesn't. And I said, and it doesn't work in the system either. It's a defunct system that must change. And that's why we're here, because it will not change by making it wrong. It will change by us being inspired. By us being inspired to be an example of truth, to be an example of love. And it was really, it feels like it was really received. So needless to say, I know I took up quite a bit of the program, but it was profound for me, and just I truly am inspired to share it. And we still have some time. Michelle may want to share. If there's any questions or any thoughts, I'm open to receiving anything that's out there.
Well, Michelle's actually not on with us today. I just sent her a text and told her I missed her presence.
I would like to add that the focal point of that lesson, of course, for those who are incarcerated, and remember that this course was initially put forward to go into the prisons, is that the whole idea of discipline being punishment is an attempt on the part of the authority to try to teach something, and that whether or not something is learned from the punishment is under the control of the person that's being punished, that the power is not in the authority's hands, but rather if one is able to set these filters in the mind, if they can set rachma, then they can receive the lesson that the authority who has power over them has. And if they do, they can start to shift the energy, that's where the power lies. And so that's a big point in that lesson in Laws of Living. And it's one of the, I think, turning points in the whole institution. I suspect that when Warden Skipper heard that, it had to warm his heart, because it's got to be a shift to see that these prisoners are learning that there's something they can do to improve the circumstances they're in, including the whole prison system. So it's pretty cool. Nice work, awesome. Friend.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the acknowledgement and appreciation, and I extend that acknowledgement and appreciation and love to everyone that's listening on the program or that might be hearing this in the archive. And just remember that that divinity, that pure love that we were created in the image of, that Ruka Dakucha, is always guiding us, always orchestrating our lives in a way that we allow it to unfold and pay attention to take action. We're the action part of that. But just to be attentive and be present with love, and it's amazing. It's miraculous. As the Course says, miracles always happen. We just aren't always aware of them.
Right. Yeah. Nice work. And again, I hold the space and I ask everybody to join in seeing Skipper sitting in the whole Laws of Living class all the way through, which opens the door for it to be taken throughout the whole prison in Ionia, and then spreading out from there, from the point of beginning, diffusing throughout the prison systems throughout America, throughout the world. And let's change this game. It just flows straight from where it all starts, and that story that Suzanne shared with us on Monday, there's no accident in that happening. So pretty awesome, and thank you all for your participation. We're getting down to the last few minutes, so we'll just offer that if you happen to be in the Tri-Cities area in Washington, we'll be in Richlands tonight, tomorrow night and Friday, doing a series of free workshops. Tonight is communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Tomorrow is codependence to interdependence, and Friday is laws of living. Saturday we'll be doing mind shifters and still point breathing. So if you care to join us, you'd be most welcome. Jeannie has on her schedule, she'll be doing a women's forgiveness. Why is this happening to me in the workshop? Jeannie, you want to maybe talk about that a little bit? We've got a minute or so.
Well, we're down to about a minute. But, yes, on June the 7th, which is Saturday, at the Women's YWCA in Bristol, Tennessee, from 9 to 12. And I'm excited about it. I think that it's going to be a good turnout. And so it's open to anyone. It's free. And it's on empowering women.
Awesome. And, of course, our schedule for Heartland, we may do something in Asheville, North Carolina, in June. We're working on something there. We, if something comes together in Portland, Oregon next week, we'll be there. It looks like we're going to get the door to open on Sunday and or Monday here in Richlands, Washington area to go into a juvenile detention facility, and do some work with juvenile inmates and the folks who hold them there. So we'll be extending... Excuse me, I took a glass of water and inhaled it. And so we'll be working with the youth here in Richlands. We just invite everybody to hold the space and give the world the best gift you can possibly give. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.